During the Cold War, each half of Berlin built up its own cultural institutions. When the wall fell, a reunited city found itself awash in theaters, museums, and opera houses. It's been a boon to lovers of culture, but the financially strapped city says it can't afford to maintain them all. Kyle James has that story.
For culture vultures, Berlin is something of an El Dorado. The city has 3 opera houses, 175 museums and art collections, and 135 theaters. Oh, and don't forget the 8 symphony orchestras. These children are about to hear a concert based on the Mother Goose stories at Berlin's comic opera. Andreas Homolke is the opera's general manager.
Germany is a country that takes pride in the culture and says that culture is not, it's not a service, but it's a general need of people. So it's like it belongs to our human concept and nature.
But this philosophy of arts and culture as a public good carries a high price tag. Unlike in the U.S., cultural institutions in Germany are highly subsidized by the government. The 2006 funding budget of the U.S. National Endowment for the Arts is just over $125 million. Berlin's culture sector alone gets almost 7 times that. Half that amount comes from a city that's as poor as a church mouse these days. The subsidies mean theatergoers can get reasonably priced tickets to shows like this one at Berlin's famous Grips Theater every night of the week. But Berlin is struggling to pull itself out of $76 billion in debt that's piled up in the years since reunification. The city's mayor, Klaus Wowereit, calls the city sexy but poor, and recently went to the federal government to ask for financial help. He didn't get it. Instead, the Constitutional Court recommended he make savings in areas like culture. That made many in Berlin very nervous. Olaf Zimmermann is the director of the German Culture Council.
If you ask anyone today how Berlin makes its money, the answer is culture and science. Nothing else plays an important role. So you see what kind of incredible importance the city's cultural infrastructure has for Berlin.
There are worries that if Berlin starts slashing its generous subsidies for culture, fewer plays like this one at the Grips Theater will be put on. Most of the city's cultural venues depend on at least some government help. If that were to disappear, many would likely start laying off staff, paring their schedules, or even closing their doors.
That would mean to cut the leg that you want to stand on in the future.
Thorsten Wulert is a spokesman with Berlin's culture ministry.
These are the resources the city has, and these are the resources that makes the city attractive both for tourists and for young people who come to study here and probably stay and found their own small creative enterprise.
Wulert breathed a small sigh of relief when Berlin's mayor announced that the culture budget would not be chopped, at least for now. But the city and the federal government are still tussling over who will pay for star cultural attractions long term. Martin Lindner heads the pro-business FDP party in the Berlin Senate. He says Berlin has to rethink how it finances culture.
I think we need to move more toward the U.S. or English system, with more involvement from the private sector and individuals. I think that just to say the government has to give and the cultural houses take doesn't work anymore.
But very few advocate pulling the subsidy rug out completely from under groups like the Berlin Philharmonic. As one representative of Berlin's tourist office said, if some politician decides to close down Berlin's cultural centers, they might as well close the city down too. For NPR News, I'm Kyle James in Berlin.